Live from the Rich Eisen Show studio in Los Angeles.
Mike Del Tufo, you are the weakest link. Goodbye.
This is the Rich Eisen Show.
Did you gamble, Shohei Ohtani?
結論から言うと、彼が僕の
Ipe has been stealing money from my account and has told lies.
Earlier on the show, hosts of the Alternate Roots podcast, Trey Wingo and Kevin Frazier, NC State forward DJ Burns Jr., Bears general manager Ryan Poles. Coming up, actor and comedian Jeff Garland. And now, it's Rich Eisen.
Oh, yes. Hour number three of the Rich Eisen Show is on the air. We just said goodbye to Ryan Poles, the GM of the Chicago Bears. DJ Burns Jr., who is the man of the moment for the 11th-seeded NC State Wolfpack, taking on Marquette in the March Madness men's tournament that is paused until Thursday. Hour number one, we had Trey Wingo and also Kevin Frazier in studio together in support of their new podcast. But joining us here, top of hour number three, is one of our favorites, one of our favorite guests on one of our favorite shows. We just had Larry David on last Thursday. There's now two curbs left, two Curb Your Enthusiasms left in the 12th and final season that you can see Sunday night on HBO and, of course, on Max through the Roku channel, Roku portal as well. Our friend Jeff Garland back.
And I'm appearing via Zoom. No one knows that. I'm not here. I'm Zoom.
It's so
lifelike. By the way,
it's
in the intro, actor and comedian. No, I'm a comedian.
Yes.
Who sometimes acts.
Oh, got it.
Yeah, I am. By the way, for a comedian, excellent actor. For an actor,
Can you write that down? Make sure,
next time Jeff comes on, we'll flip those two.
Jeff, I've been watching a lot of Daddy Daycare lately.
What's wrong with you?
Phenomenal.
Why would you do that?
Phenomenal movie.
Well, you know, when you smile. By the way, I will say this. It is a kid's movie when you're a parent watching with them.
Yeah.
You don't want to kill yourself. It is that good.
Well,
you don't want to die. Because when my kids were young, I wanted to die. You know, okay, so I'm at a Digimon movie. The other one, Digimon movie, and I'm watching my son, and it is soothing me to sleep. My son keeps waking me up because I'm missing the good part, and it was painful.
Well, you told me because I've known you forever, you told me, and my oldest is now, I just watched A Few Good Men with him last night, which is great. I'm beginning to show him. Yeah. You know, in this day and age when everybody's watching, you know, these kids are watching stuff that's 90 seconds a piece, sitting down having a talking movie that's 2 hours and 15 minutes.
Right.
But he loved it. But I bring this up because he's now 15. And you told me before Susie and I had our first kid, you told me that you watch your children watch TV shows and movies, that watching them. And you're like, and you should do that when you have your kid and you start, you watch
and
them.
And you know I wasn't wrong.
You were not.
I was not wrong at all.
That was a great tip. You watch them. It's so enjoyable.
When the Digimon woke me up, I just watched him watching it. And it was on, we're in a theater, and I'm just watching him watching it. And then sometimes he'd catch me, and he was so young, he would go, Dad, where an older child would do that, even though I kept yelling. They're 28 and about to be 24 now. They're about to be 28 and 24 in the next few days. And I say I love you to them all the time. Yes. They're very affectionate and love me. But if they catch me staring at them, I'm dead. As well as I remember my father staring at me and thinking he's nuts. Not so much
Not
anymore.
Not so much anymore.
Yeah.
I know. I know. I am so... You're taking pictures of me right now, huh?
I just turned my camera on.
Okay.
Yeah.
Rich. Go. Yes.
I realize, you know, I got ones of Conan. Like every talk show I've done, essentially.
Yes.
I never had yours.
I appreciate that.
Yeah, so I'm happy to have you.
And you're an excellent photographer, by the way.
Well, I got to tell you, first, I'm a comedian. And I'm a comedian who does photography.
Well, actor, yeah. Or then so, you want photographer second? When we
I don't know.
Wait,
what's the order?
What's
the order?
I have a show coming up in Bellevue, Seattle, in June, a photo show.
Okay.
And I've had one in Boston, one in Chicago, and out here in L.A., and I'm doing a book. So,
and I know you throw them up on your Instagram page every now and then. They're really good pictures.
Rarely, but yeah.
Yeah, you've done that.
I'll put some up on my webpage someday. I don't run it. I just give it to somebody.
There's two curbs left, man.
Yeah, I know. 9 and 10.
Larry said he's not sentimental about it. Are you?
Not at all.
Not at all?
Zero.
Why?
And by the way, I'm a sentimental guy.
I know. That's why I'm asking.
And Larry is not a sentimental guy.
That's why I'm asking.
Although he has more than he lets you know.
Okay.
You know.
Yeah.
I am really happy it's over. Not there was only joy for me, joy and a gift of doing something that's designed for my skills. I feel like I'm Liam Neeson, because I've got a certain set of skills, and that's Curb Your Enthusiasm. And I'm the only other person besides Larry who has been there from the very first moment the show was conceived.
First moment.
The moment, he and I. That's it. There's no one else. And then a little while later, his assistant, Laura Stryker, who used to be Laura Fairchild, she was his assistant, and she was there at the beginning, and she's one of the producers, and she was great. She's a great producer and a great woman. But it's really the three of us, and then everyone else at different, you know. I was there for Cheryl's audition. Mm-hmm. I was in the room watching her audition, and then I was there for JB's. I mean, I have been there through all of this.
How did that
and
first,
I am not sentimental at all.
First of all, I can't understand that, but I get it. But although I just contradicted myself, how did you first get connected with LD on this subject matter?
He and I were acquaintances from stand-up. And I had directed Dennis Leary and Jon Stewart's off camera, their HBO specials.
Okay.
And when I was working with Dennis, who described me as his Danny Murtaugh.
Okay.
I was a manager of it. But what I thought was, what would be a great special would be about a guy making a special, and you see what goes into making a special, and then at the end, he doesn't really have to do the special, so the special is the making of the special. I told the right guy.
And there we go.
Yeah, I told the right guy. And by the way, when you tell a genius, things happen. I told a genius, and it's been, I mean, the journey. I'm so grateful. That's like I'm singing the seventh inning stretch in Chicago on the 5th. Yeah, the 5th.
Uh-huh.
And Ohtani will be there. On the 5th, we bet that I wasn't going to show.
No.
Nice.
No. Yes, by the way,
that's the comedian.
Oh, don't do that. It was a lame joke, but I didn't need help with how lame it was. Anyone who's listening or watching going, that was a lame joke, I acknowledge. I'm the tip of the hat, sir. But holy crap, you didn't have to make it worse. I'm having a nice conversation with you about Curb.
Yes.
I'm giving information that usually doesn't come out.
I know
me.
That. That's which I am enjoying.
But I will say this.
Yes.
I don't sit in editing with Larry. It's been since the beginning is the last time I did. I don't sit in editing with him.
Right.
Jeff Schaefer is there for all of editing, and they do a great job. But I get cuts, and I give any notes. The least amount of notes this season than ever before. So I've watched 1 through 8. I didn't want to watch 9 or 10.
Mm-hmm.
I have them. You know, I didn't want to watch them. Two reasons. The same reason I've never seen Babylon, but a little bit different. I'm in the movie Babylon. I know I'm going to hate my performance.
Mm.
So the movie will either suck or I'll love it. It won't be in between. It's too great of a filmmaker to have it be either terrible or wonderful. And it's been very split from what people hear, which tells you the filmmaker's doing something.
Mm-hmm.
He's risking. It's like me bombing. If I don't take a chance, I ain't gonna. I gotta bomb. It comes with the territory. But if I watch it, I actually would like my performance, and it might make me sad. All right, I came to the truth.
There you go.
I discovered it while I'm sitting here.
Well, you'll see him over the next 2 weeks.
No, I won't watch them.
Come on now. You have to.
One of the greatest lines that I ever came up with on Curb that I gave to someone else is coming up on this Sunday. This Sunday.
I know who the someone else is because I have seen it.
Yeah. Well, by the way, you, since the beginning, have seen all of them. He's part of our test. Audience guys that Larry takes because Larry respects the hell. That's why he's here. By the way, great interview with him.
Thank you. It was so much fun with him. And by the way, it's one of the honors of my life is to be in this seat.
We did your other one. You know, the one 900 years ago on the NFL Network.
Yeah, right.
With JB, myself, Larry,
and Bob Einstein.
Bob Einstein, my brother. And by the way, losing Richard, you know, it wasn't a surprise because he was very ill and he would sit in, you know, the golf cart or at the table when we were filming something. So it wasn't a surprise, but it tore the crap out of me. And I'm going to tell you something funny that he did.
Please.
This is a unique perspective. Hanging with Richard, since he's had Parkinson's, if someone comes up and tells him he looks good, he would do this, Parkinson's. In other words, any compliment he get, he would cough Parkinson's. And I would lose it. And he loved when I thought something he did was that funny. And that's the last joke that I heard him. This is, I don't want to, I can't talk about him. Got to stop.
I hear you.
But I miss him. Yeah.
I hear you.
So, ten is so complex. It's like a Rubik's Cube.
The finale.
And you haven't seen it, okay? Now, when I get the outline for it, at the beginning, I'm going, what is he doing? Why is he doing this? This is just so dumb. Mm-hmm. Why is he doing this? And then you go, oh, my God, this is brilliant.
It is.
Like, it was amazing to see that. And then when we did it, it was just... Yeah, but no one was sentimental on set. None of us started crying.
Well, isn't that
hold on. I have to admit something else.
Sure. Mm-hmm.
All right, so yes, I'm not sentimental about it, but last day of filming, last scene ever of the show, and Jeff Schaefer comes out and says, that's a wrap on the greatest sitcom of all time. One of the greatest, if you ask me. I can't judge it. You know, I don't watch it like you do, but I can say it is a great one. And I began bawling. Inconsolable. I just remembered that now. So we're doing the scene. I'm inconsolable. Every one of Ted Danson and Cheryl, like everybody comes up to me, puts their hand on my shoulder. Richard. And Larry didn't know about it. And I'm all a mess and I'm walking back to my trailer. I see young Kim coming back to just pat me on the back. You know, say, I know, pal. Because now I'm getting some sentimental out here. It's a bunch of crap. Point being is, as I told you, from the very first set. Yeah. But I'm happy. I swear I am.
No, no, it's
I'm
happy.
Grateful. Mm-hmm. And I'm happy. And I've got some things coming up that I'm really happy about. And I will always be creative. And I'll always... And I'm doing that podcast with Susie. The History of Curb Your Enthusiasm.
With Susie Essman.
With Susie Essman. And we've had Larry on. The point being is... I have to watch all these again, which it doesn't bring me joy.
Come on,
no,
man.
No, by the way, I look at a scene, and I can think what I had from craft service during that scene. And by the way, if you think I'm kidding, just watch old episodes with me, and I will tell you. And what I watched recently on everything, I remember we had originally our caterer, and he made what I essentially called tuna soup. Was there was so much mayonnaise that the tuna would float around. And by the way, that might be the slightest exaggeration. Anyhow, I saw a scene. I'm like, oh, tuna soup day. That was tuna soup.
The scenes with you and Susie Essman.
Yeah.
Where she just is so angry with you. And you are so just trying to avoid the anger and just trying to dodge the bullets to get through.
And I've lived that. I love Marla. Marla's not, and my girlfriend, but I get it from both of them. Not like Susie.
Oh, my God.
Well, really, it's a classic. Truthfully, that's any great sitcom from the past, there is a character running away from his wife or his girlfriend in hiding. I mean, you name it. The Honeymooners, I don't care. All the way through, that is one of the bare bones keys to a great sitcom to me.
And who's the one that's cracked you up? Where you're like, we're in the middle of a scene, you didn't see it coming because...
Well, by the way, I must say that I'm the best, Susie's second best at not losing it.
Okay.
Okay.
So then you're
sometimes
the perfect person to ask.
When Larry loses it and he keeps going, I have to laugh. So.
Well, he's the easiest to have cracked up,
right? He'll crack you. You hand him a fork, he'll just look at it and start laughing.
It was funny. The other day when we were going through our social situations, when he comes on, we ask him, tell us what's appropriate and what's not.
Right.
All I said was, so you're going on a short, you're with friends going on a short trip. He started laughing hysterically over those words.
One thing that I've always found fascinating doing Curb Your Enthusiasm is the first take or so of a scene that you know is hilarious, and he sees it on his feet, he starts laughing hysterically because he's sitting at a desk writing this, and then it's there, and it's insane, and it's exactly what he was thinking, and he just bursts out laughing. I have to say... The only person on set that consistently made me laugh, and I don't want to start crying, was Bob Einstein. Like everyone else on the show, I appreciate them. I respect them. Yeah. They do make me laugh, and I love working with them.
Right.
But Bob was the only one. Listen to me. What the? I mean, the yarmulke. And then after the yarmulke scene, like throwing down the yarmulke, don't take my yarmulke. He would flip walk over and go, wasn't that great? That was great, wasn't it? Did you see? And so that is the stuff that made me laugh the hardest was Bob. And guest stars, something. But really, I'm not the big laugher on set. I'm actually a pro on set with that stuff.
Right.
Yeah.
You got a favorite ep?
Oh, geez. Well, early on, it's been Wandering Bear. You know, the one where Larry and I are watching Green Bear Helps. That's because that's a standalone episode. There's nothing. It's not part of the
story.
Those
are some of the best.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. I like, I don't know. Name one and I'll type a.
No, I'm sure. I mean, we could just go on.
By the way, though, I appreciate the Palestinian chicken, and Larry and I were laughing while we're making it, but it wasn't one where I went, that is a. Like the Susie with the wieners by her mouth.
Oh, just from this past year, you're talking about.
The scene that I filmed with Susie and Larry in the kitchen and in the living room talking about it, those are one. Look, what Larry and I really are proud of.
Yes.
Is that Curb Your Enthusiasm is the first televised sitcom where the actors actually laugh at one another. Like I'll say it, The Big Bang Theory, for example.
Sure.
And they'd say a joke, by the way, well-written joke.
Of course.
And then everyone else is like, now I'll do my line. And it's like, no, he just said something funny. What is your reaction? So that scene in the kitchen and in the nonstop laughter. We were making each other. That one we were making each other. And then once I said a hint of jizz on the board. But by the way, one of my greatest accomplishments. Hold on. By the way, that's a great term.
Sounds like one of your fantasy team's names.
By the way.
Careful.
Holy. By the way, that would be a great. I got to do a new league. All my teams are spoken for with my names. Where was I going? Hold on.
You mentioned that line.
Oh, okay. Mm-hmm. So HBO put up a billboard from the show.
Right.
To people go, oh, there's the billboard. I go on the Curb Your Enthusiasm site where they showed it on Instagram, and I write, please, please, someone paint dicks by her mouth. Please, please. And guess what? This art collective did. And then when they said, how did you get away with it? They go, Jeff Garland gave us permission. And I went, yes. Now, here's the crazier thing. I knew that was there. I didn't know there were wieners or anything yet. And I got there the day after the wieners were drawn in. And it was just, oh my God. I took a bunch of pictures for Susie. It's the greatest thing, by the way. This season has been so well received, but Susie, to get that kind of attention, mm-hmm. I mean, the wieners on the billboards went everywhere. She's so great.
She
Everyone's
is
great on that. I'm honored to be around those people.
The whole crew, the whole cast. It's and you say you're not sentimental. See? I know you're just like chiseling away.
No, but the point is, I'll probably weep in the future. But currently, I'm very happy.
What an incredible run.
Yeah.
12 seasons, 24 years. It's a quarter century.
I will not see either one of them air. I'll be in an airplane both times. But I can tell you that I might watch them depending on what I hear.
All right, well, let's.
Have you ever heard a guy on a show who's also one of the executive producers? Yeah, I may watch it. Let me see what I hear. Because I don't like myself.
Honestly, this coming up Sunday, and I know you do, it's like Fight Club. You don't talk about it. The cameo, and I think what you're talking about.
It's more than a cameo. It's a regular acting job.
It's unexpected. But I mean, you're right. And it'll be something that everyone's going to be talking about, so you can't, as Larry say, assume tape. You can't just hold it off. People be tweeting about it on the spot as soon as it happens. Right. So that's Sunday, and then there's the finale, which is terrific. But also, I think it's definitely a finale. Like this is it.
Oh,
and Larry said he's done.
Is it really? You always come back. He has never said the words to me, I'm done. He has never said that until this season. No, I'm done. and I knew why he was done, and it made sense to me, and I agreed with it. And 121 episodes, you know, the 1 hour pilot, and then 120. Mm-hmm. Man, am I grateful. And to be part of that, and it made sense to me. And so we go, is it really? I try not to go, yeah, it's a, you know, as if they're the one who keeps asking me. But the truth is, he's never said those words. And then when you watch the last episode, you go, oh, this is the last episode.
Yeah.
And I just want to say, for the record, no one dies. except in real life, Richard.
Ah. Oh, my gosh.
No, that's what I'm saying. It's like on the show, nobody. And by the way, wasn't it weird them discussing death on a previous episode that he wanted Larry in
his will? Yeah. I know. In the golf cart. In the golf cart.
But Richard, here's the thing. All of us have, I have a bouncy, happy sense of humor. And also, don't sit next to a comedian at a funeral because we are completely inappropriate. And we say the darkest things. Larry has that. Richard has that. And so doing that kind of comedy was not something like, I don't feel comfortable.
Well, I think most everyone has it, which is why Curb is connected with so many people for a quarter century.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like,
yeah,
that's
it. Yeah, people, but by the way, we're a real show. And I think we appeal to real people. And I think we appeal, at worst, when you watch our show, you have a sense of humor. Because nobody without a sense of humor is going to get anything from that show. Larry makes me nervous or whatever. You know, Susie's mean to Jeff. Which, by the way, people ask me.
Can't confirm.
All these years, people have asked me. I've been leaning back too much and not up. It's better okay. Look up. By the way, I just started watching Monk. I love it. So anyhow, people would. It really is good. It's on Netflix. I'm delighted by it. I love it. All right. Anyhow, Monk. But so Susie gets asked, and I get asked most of what is Jeff, how's Jeff's reaction? Well, Susie's one of my best friends. There, I'm a comedian who's an actor.
Nice.
And so all I'm thinking about is, no callback intended, is the craft service table. Like, I'm not even remotely thinking, she's being mean. And you know what I've always thought, and it worked? Even though she says it on occasion because it's just funny, if I don't want her to call me a fat buck, a fat buck.
Yeah, right.
Yeah, do not. Lose weight. And I did. And then it didn't make sense. And we didn't do it. I think we've done it. We did it one time this season for whatever reason. She did it on a thing. It was funny.
Jeff Garland is here on The Rich Eisen Show. We're going to take a break. Roku audience, come back, show a clip from Curb, and then talk some sports. I know we had the Bears GM on our last hour.
I was very excited, and I have opinions about that. And I'm leaving.
No, we're
done.
We will be right back with Jeff Garland in a sec.
If you need to hire, you need Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. And Indeed doesn't just help you hire faster. 93% of employers agree Indeed delivers the highest quality matches compared to other job sites, according to a recent Indeed survey. With Indeed, everything hiring is all in one place, and it makes it so easy. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences each day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. The more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join the more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/podcast. Just go to Indeed.com/podcast right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Terms and conditions apply. Indeed.com/podcast. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Welcome to Talkville, the ultimate Smallville rewatch podcast. Title Transference aired October 27, 2004. Director James Marshall, writers Todd Slavkin, Darren Swimmer. I really like this episode, and I'm surprised that you don't like it as much as you thought you did.
I actually respect your opinion more than I respect my own in general. When you say things are good and I check them out, they are.
Jump in now or catch up on any of the past seasons of Talkville on YouTube or wherever you listen.
By the way, our radio audience has returned. Jeff Garland is here.
Oh, welcome, radio audience. You missed the beginning, which the Roku people loved. They loved it.
Ladies and gentlemen, that's the actor, comedian.
I'm about to tell something.
Sorry.
What was I about to say?
You're Jeff Schaefer. You were saying something about him. You loved him. Or
you and Susie doing the show together.
Yeah, no, I know. That was before. Shut up. You see, and your death row.
He's not, he's not
like
happy.
All these dead people.
By the way, his funny thing is, all right, Jeff Gaughan is here. This is a perfect way to jump into this conversation.
And
with
I
the,
forgot. I'll remember another time
no
when
worries.
I come on what I was going
so
to
you
say.
So you were upset with TJ for a yes. an April Fool's gag 3 years ago.
Which, by the way, who's happier than me that didn't happen?
That's literally what I am bringing up. Like, you were so into Russell Wilson coming to Chicago.
It was like anything.
Right.
Please save us. Anything.
Right.
You know, it's kind of like how Pittsburgh is right now, really. Please, somebody. But I want to tell you something.
Yes.
Chicago loved Justin Fields, and we were sad to see him go. We're very excited about Caleb Williams. But I want to say wholeheartedly that Justin Fields caught the heart of Chicago. And I don't think he got a fair shot. And then once he started to show something, he would have cost too much.
Do me a favor here and give a little bit more voice to this, because I think most National Football League fans outside of Chicago, seeing Fields just as maybe a fantasy football quarterback who would burst and give them multiple points in fantasy or beat their
and
fantasy
the way,
team.
Because we play each other in fantasy, although you weren't in it last year, was
no,
you?
No, we got kicked out of that league.
You did not get kicked out.
We 100% got kicked out of that league. Out. But that's for another day.
Shut your grandma's balls, really?
But Justin Fields, and certainly after he was traded away for a sixth round draft choice in next year's draft that could be a four, a lot of people don't compute why Bears fans are disappointed that Justin Fields is not there anymore. Like, what did you fall in love with him about?
Like, it's a mixed feeling. No, the guy's a leader, and his teammates love him, and people were chanting his name outside of the game in Green Bay, which none of us were at.
Right.
And I have season tickets. People were chanting his name, and he was electrifying. He was not consistent. He was electrifying. And I blame that on the different regimes. And then finally he got a good regime, Ryan Poles' regime.
Well, I know.
But Ryan Poles, great. If Ryan Poles, would you let him know I want to have dinner with him when I'm in Chicago?
Absolutely,
we'll go for deli.
Yes.
So anyhow, it was time to move on. I understand the Bears' point of view, and I agree with it. But he did his best. And he brought us moments of excitement that we've never seen from a quarterback.
Well, and I think the reason why you should be particularly excited as well, and I think you are, is normally when you get a rookie quarterback, it takes some time to build up everything around him.
Right.
Certainly when you're choosing first overall, because it's normally a Superfund site that's caused you to have that first overall pick.
Yes.
But it does appear that the pieces are there. Defensively, they're a top 10 defense.
If we had a good pass rusher like Montez Sweat,
right,
we would be a top 5 defense. Easy.
Right.
That's the thing we've been missing, is the other. Sweat changed everything.
And I think they became a top 5. I mean, I don't know the numbers, but it felt like they were a top 5 defense in the last month and a half.
Well, by the way, Sweat
young secondary
everything.
In the back.
Oh, it's
right?
Just, it's constant delight. And the offense has been a constant depression except for Justin Fields. And, of course, DJ Moore this past season. Yeah, it's just, so when he left, it was a feeling of, aw, that guy, he gave his heart to, that's what it is. He gave his heart to Chicago, and he was genuine. And now, you think, unless they have another plan for Justin long term, you think that anyone has a chance to beat him out of camp? His skill set is above and beyond anyone
that's
will be in a 100-mile pit. Russell Wilson cannot beat him out of camp. It's impossible. Unless the Steelers want to just get him a
red shirt year of some sort?
Like a red shirt year where we just...
But this is the only year they're going to have him under contract.
No, I don't think
they're going to pick up a fifth-year option. That's the whole point of this.
No, hold on. Unless they have a plan. And their plan might include the fifth-year option. I don't know.
Or signing him.
But the point of it is, no. If Russell Wilson beats him out of camp, there's a reason behind the scenes, because I'm sorry, Justin Fields, he can blow probably, I'm going to use that phrase, but he can beat, I would say, 90% of NFL quarterbacks coming out of camp. Because he's that talented. He's that much of a leader. He's that positive. But he didn't have the tool, the things. He's not gotten the things.
Well, yet. I think the things are there for Caleb Williams. I
mean, oh, my God, are they ever there?
Not, I mean, just we'll have to see what the line looks like. But I think the weaponry is there. And they also have the ninth overall pick on
you
top
know,
of
you
it.
You know, if you go back to the Peyton era, which is Peyton on the Mount Rushmore with Barry Sanders, Jim Brown, what right. have you, uh-huh. of running backs. The offensive line, colorful and delightful, and some guys were great, but a lot of it was crap. Wide receivers, they had different people in and out of there. No one half as good as DJ Moore. Willie Gault, you know, probably the best of them. But look what Peyton did for that offense. And whoever the quarterback was might as well have been just a question mark in his uniform playing. Mm-hmm. And so now there's an actual offense? Are you kidding me? A real offense? God bless you, Ryan Pauls. Look at the chess game you're winning. Look at the chess game you're winning.
Do you like the coach?
I do. Have I been one of the people over the course who said, yes. And may I also say that for him, if he can't make it this year, he's gone. They have to be 9-7 at worst for this guy not to be fired.
Well, I think it does depend on how Caleb Williams...
He's going to come in and be excellent. He might not be a Hall of Famer when he comes in. He certainly has a skill set. But with all those things around him,
right,
and a really good offensive coordinator, I think he'll shine, but good.
You got to be out of your mind excited. I mean, I am. Because I think he is the real thing. We saw what C.J. Stroud can do as a rookie quarterback last year. That's the new bar.
And this is a guy who actually... is supposedly more talented than C.J. Stroud. They're comparing
physically,
him to Patrick Mahomes.
Talking about, right.
Yeah, C.J. Stroud, you know. By the way, is there a more inept franchise in the history of sports than the Carolina Panthers? I mean, what they've done, all the decisions they've made right and left, they are firmly in the toilet.
Well, they've helped you out. I mean, they helped you out by coming up and
pulling.
Well, let's put it this way: they put the picks in the hands of Poles, who's really done a good job.
They put the picks in the hands. I can't say that. Yes, but you know, I know what I say to the Carolina Panthers: Zygesund.
Nice.
Live and be well.
Oh,
I'm a Jew. Can we talk about the Cubs, or am I out of time?
You're not out of time.
All right,
good.
I love doing this show with you.
I love having you.
I love you. By the way,
yes, sir.
First time in a million moons that I saw you at the Curb premiere,
yes.
But it's been years since we spent time together, and we're people who would want to spend
That's
time
correct.
Together, and this is the first talk show I've done, 3 years, 5 years,
well,
I don't even know.
And I appreciate you doing this,
No, I'm
man.
Happy to be here, but I tore my quads and my knee, been recovering from that, I had spine surgery. All sorts of
oh my
things.
Goodness.
No, it's a long journey, but everything was successful, and I'm good, but I really didn't want to come today because my back hurt.
What are you thinking about the Cubs?
Okay. I think the Cubs, why they're even discussing who might win the Central Division is beyond me. Because you take last year's team, which is better, and combine it with Craig Counsell. I mean, I love Jeff Ross. I mean, Jeff Ross. I love Jeff Ross, too.
We do.
I love David Ross. David Ross, I heard Jeff Ross like owns the roast with Tom Brady.
He does now. Yes.
Can I just say something?
Yes.
I watched the Patriots doc. Brady came out looking pretty gosh darn good, but I want to say this. Stay out of my business. Get your ass out of comedy. You are great, but only to a certain level. You are not remotely funny. You should be not allowed near comedy. All right.
But
so
you
the
also,
Cubs.
Yes, go
so
ahead.
So the Cubs, mm-hmm. having Craig Counsell. With that quality of a squad, and baseball used the word, well, football used to be, what was the squad name they had for football? The backups? I don't remember. But anyhow, that combination with a smart president of baseball operations, smart GM, I'm sorry, all the moves that they made with the pitch, I am thrilled.
You are.
And to me, it's not even. They will make the playoffs. I don't know if they win a series or not. I don't. But the idea that there's any question mark, like the Cardinals would play better, or any of these teams would be better. The one that could on a fluke be better is the Reds, because they're ridiculously, they're filled with young talent. But that's the thing, young talent. That's all they have is young talent. And young talent screws up. You know, look at me with my opinions.
I love him. Listen. I love seeing you here.
I want to say another thing.
Yes.
I'm going opening day, which will be April 1st, so it'll be the most blessed day on earth and the worst day on earth. Because non-pros try and be funny. And it's a day where people who aren't funny, like Tom Brady, I bet you Tom Brady loves playing April Fool's jokes. Anyone who's funny does not do an April Fool's joke because they're funny all year. And April Fool's jokes are just like, I fooled you! Funny! No! And the other thing is, next weekend I'm doing the stretch at Wrigley on the 5th.
Yeah.
They're first the Dodgers, and Odenkirk's doing it on the on the 7th, and we're going to the game together on the 6th, and I'll be at his game. He's flying in late for my game. He won't be there.
Fantastic.
But it's a great weekend. I'm also going to a Sox game versus the Braves. Going to see Acuna play in Chicago. And, that'll be all.
Then you're set up.
Yeah, and the Kirby's food.
Right. And the Kirby.
I make thoughtful choices. People want to know how to lose weight? Just make thoughtful choices. Right. Be present. That's it. There's no easy thing.
Curb Your Enthusiasm this week. Check it out on HBO, 10 Eastern Time, and of course on Max right here on the Roku Port.
I know I'm taking it over.
Go
listen, Curb Your Enthusiasm on HBO this week. Do you think that any of the people who listen to this show are the kind of people, you know what, I'm going to check it out?
Maybe.
I would gather that most of your listeners and viewers watch Curb.
Yeah, they already know.
Their audiences, anyone who would listen to you would like Curb Your Enthusiasm.
Well, we're simpatico.
No, but you are that way. Larry knows that. I know that. So I love that you gave us the plug. Maybe one person.
That's all that matters. Yeah. One extra one.
Yeah,
man, one at a time, man.
Yeah. All right, so now, Ray, you can wrap it up.
Okay,
now.
And you can watch it right here on the Roku portal the next day on HBO, on Max.
Who doesn't love the Roku portal? Have you ever looked through there? I've seen a lot of things in that portal. The good people at Roku, there's things they're not telling you. Just look through the portal.
Look through the portal. Jeff Garland, I love you, man. Thanks for coming.
I love you too, pal. All so right. Happy to be here.
Likewise.
Hold on. One last.
Yeah. Should I just?
That's it. Yeah. Give me a handsome. Now give me a goofy. That was hilarious.
There you go.
One I used.
I can do goofy.
Okay.
All right. Jeff Garland, everybody.
Thank
We're
you.
Back with the latest. The Cowboys are up to something. Or nothing. Which one is that?
Named one of the best personal finance podcasts, The Stacking Benjamin Show with Joe and his friends makes financial literacy fun.
I got an email today from the LenPenzo.com HR department. I find it really interesting. I'm an employee of one at this company, but somebody from the HR department sent me an email telling me that I had a raise. If I just opened the attachment, I could see how much my raise was.
Make sure you click on the links that are in there, too.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah, I can't wait. I'm excited.
Find out more by searching the Stacking Benjamins podcast wherever you listen.
Hi there. Sorry for the interruption, but are you enjoying this show on Google Podcasts? You should know that the Google Podcasts app is going away this spring. That's right, going away, gone as in no longer available. You can still enjoy this show elsewhere, though. Try out Spotify or Amazon Music, or maybe TuneIn is more your style. Whatever app you switch to, be sure to follow so you never miss the next episode. And thanks for listening, wherever you listen.
If Cam Newton is Superman, who the hell is Peyton Manning?
The sheriff.
The sheriff.
Yeah, he the sheriff.
No, the sheriff got a hero? A hero!
Flash, he was Flash.
No, Flash, he was Flash. I don't know if anybody else saw it for me or noticed this. That demo Bronco logo looked like a penis to me.
Whoa. Why you look like that? That's just your eye. That's your eye. We don't see that. I see a Bronco.
Am I wrong? If I'm wrong, someone tell me I'm wrong. Am I wrong? Look at this. Maybe not like yours, but it reminds me of mine's. Hey, Dion. Look, it's almost as good as me. My eyes are going blind by my shoes.
How did it feel playing for the Jets last year as wide receiver? And then a follow-up, you get tired of telling people, I'm not that damn Brandon Marshall. But this Earth got attacked by aliens, right? You had to put three other players to battle these aliens. Who are those other three players?
It had to be Derek Wolfe, because he eats aliens on a daily basis for breakfast.
That's one.
Akeem Tlaib, because he's probably the toughest guy we got in the locker room.
Two.
Louis Vasquez, he's just a bouncer, just waiting to happen.
Hey, Jamie Smooth, hey.
What's up?
What's up?
You.
So, I know you're a big Curb Your Enthusiasm fan, right?
Absolutely.
You're a big Leon fan. Which
Huge.
One of these Leon, which one of these Leonisms will motivate you for the game? Getting that ass, that's how I do's it, long balls, or I brings the ruckus.
That's how I do's it.
That's how I do's it.
I do's it. I'm not watching season 9 of Curb Your Enthusiasm unless Leon is in it. Let's make
My
that
man.
Clear. Let's make that
that's
clear.
That's what I'm talking about. Cam Newton, you are crazy, man. You will wear anything. I'm a man of the people, as you can see. All my people back there, we get it in. All my people, JB Smooth fans, we in this building up here. I'm going to go say hi. I'm going to go say hi. I'm going to go say hi. What up?
Fun stuff. Back here on the Rich Eisen Show Radio Network, I'm sitting at the Rich Eisen Show desk furnished by Grainger with supplies and solutions for every industry. Grainger has the right product for you. Call clickgrainger.com or just stop by. Fun stuff with Jeff Garland right there. You were a man on the button on that?
Oh, yes.
Okay,
Rich.
Good job. Thank you. Greatly appreciate
that. Mike hit that immediately.
Hey, listen, when I came back from the combine, I had my top five rumors that I heard, and the only one that's way off right now is number five. Number five was the Vikings' possible solve at quarterback, Trey Lance. As it turned out to be, it was Sam Darnold. And then we'll see what they're going to do with their draft choice, which could potentially make number four on the list inoperative as well. Jaden Daniels is QB2. Right now you're hearing even J.J. McCarthy might go up to two.
Oh, man, his odds have flipped big time.
I mean, which is great. But Jaden Daniels and Drake may have their pro days over the next 2 days, I think.
Yeah,
I think that might flip the script a little bit.
Who knows, man?
Because, you know, Caleb Williams had his pro day, then J.J. had his pro day, and they got to meet him, and a bunch of people have heard great things about J.J., which I know, and suddenly it's now a surprise to people. Just watch this show is basically, or talk to me. I could have helped you with that. Surprise. Surprise. He's awesome. Number three is the Giants are done with Daniel Jones. We'll see. We'll see how that gets proved out. In the long run, that thing may take out the longest to play out. Number one, we just heard from Ryan Poles last hour. He's not going to go there yet. But the Bears' only intention is to draft Caleb Williams and trade Justin Fields. They traded Justin Fields for a reason. It's to draft Caleb Williams. Number two on the list, boy, did I tell you or what? Jerry Jones's definition of all in is make Dak play out his walk year. Ooh. That's number two.
Oh, baby.
And... his definition of all in, I said when I came back from the combine, everything I heard was not at all what the definition of all in is for you. Definition of all in is like, I'm going to go out, I'm going to get Derrick Henry. I'm going to re-sign Dak. We're going to extend him so we can get some cap space. We're going to get a ton of people in here so we might not falter in January because we're going all in on this current roster with more reinforcements. Instead, the all in is like, we're going all in with just this roster and we're going to make everybody play for their supper to stay with Dallas. From the coach to the quarterback. And you're like, wait a minute. So that means you're going to eat a $59 million cap charge on your cap just this year? That's what you're going to do? The answer turned out to be what? Huh? Uh-huh. Yes. Although they did convert some money so they could save a little bit, but not extend them. Not extend them. Oof. Ian Rappaport, while we were talking to Jeff Garland, saying... the quarterback, Dak Prescott, and the Cowboys have a mutual understanding of his contract situation, sources say, with no offers from Dallas despite him being in a contract year. Owner Jerry Jones said, quote, we are where we are, locked and loaded for this year, end quote. No indication a deal is coming. It seems like rumor number two I heard at the combine was spot on. I don't know how this is going to, I mean, I honestly don't know how this is going to make things better. I don't know. Other than the fact that you can't franchise tag him next year. That's part of his deal. You're going to have to re-sign him. If you're going to let him walk, he could sign anywhere else. And you just get a comp draft choice if that's the way it works. Depending on how many others you sign with no doubt more cap space if he walks. And then what, you're just going to start redoing the deal from scratch and he's going to give you a more Dallas-friendly deal? And I understand some folks out there be like, yeah, Dak has not proven it in January. He hasn't even played a single game in February yet. So Jerry's had enough of it and he's going to make him do it. the it is go play into February if you want your money here. And then we'll put the bag on the desk for you. And I understand what folks are saying that. I just find this, how does that make him play better in January? Is that going to make him play better in January?
It should.
You think? Unless him playing for Dallas isn't, you know, he would love to stay. He loves to stay there. But if not, I mean, Tom Brady won elsewhere. Aaron Rodgers trying to win elsewhere. Peyton Manning won elsewhere. I mean, it's...
It seems like Dak is just not, set up to be the fall guy for this. When you say play better in January, Dak hasn't played awful. That's the thing, we look at him like he's the fall guy. He didn't give up 27 points in the first quarter. And
I understand that. I just wondered like how Jerry Jones's reaction to getting one and done this year and how that plays out into the Dallas season this coming year is one of the stories of 2024. And I understand you're like, every year is the Dallas Cowboys are the story of 2024 or 2023 or fill in the blank. But it's just mind-blowing to me that instead of just saying, all right, the roster needs to be retooled to take the pressure off of people when they are playing the most pressurized games. Instead, it's like, no, we're going to take the lid and we're going to put it on top of the boiling pot and we're going to turn the heat up. And that's the way we're going to get better results with a roster that I believe is championship quality. And that is really a pudding I need to see some proof on. Wow. And then there's the contract situation of Brandon Ayuk. Remember yesterday? I don't know if we have that Instagram story post with John Lynch. Is like, hey, listen, we'd love to re-sign him long term. There's a fifth-year option for us as well. They obviously would pick that up while trying to renegotiate a long-term deal. And they're also saying, hey, we're used to re-signing our own. Remember, Deebo Samuel looked like he was history, and he's not. He's still on the team. So Brandon Ayuk, I guess hearing those comments, five emojis, money, and then the talking emoji, the bull emoji, the poop emoji, and the walking emoji.
Oh, yeah. Is he in the sauna while he did?
Yeah, I don't know. Is that a sauna? Like, okay, very nice. Because I guess it's getting hot.
Yeah.
Is that what it is? I don't know. I don't know what that is. So today, Kyle Shanahan was speaking at the NFC coaches breakfast at the owners meeting. Had this to say.
How do you kind of remove yourself from that and just maintain that relationship with the guy you've been around for?
I try to do exactly that. Myself from it. I've been through it enough that it's a very sensitive time because it's so much the player and his family, it's so much the team, what they got to go through just trying to build a team. So I've watched it happen with Trent, I've watched it with Deebo, George, Fred, all these guys. So you just got to be patient, you got to let it play itself out, not get involved. And usually when you're in a situation like we are where you got a real good player who wants to be here and we want the player to be here, it's really bad too. What I found with us is it doesn't always happen right away. It's a matter of time that it doesn't work out.
And does your relationship with Brandon, does it suffer? Does it get strained at all during the season?
It hasn't so far. I've seen him a couple times and we've been good, so I don't expect it to. I mean, I think Brandon understands the situation and I know I do, and I'm excited to get back and play for us.
It's amazing how we're here, right? Remember, he was in the doghouse 2 years ago, supposedly. Like he was,
Deebo.
He was no Ayuk. He was giving him the tough love.
Mm-hmm.
Yep. And many teams are like, these things usually work out, and you're like, what a bunch of BS that's walking. But with this team, you got to kind of believe it, right? I mean, Deebo, remember there he was at a club here in LA, and somebody brought a sign around.
Yep.
Saying what? Stay? And he waved it off? Something like that? And he was gone. He was as good as gone. There weren't enough BS emojis to describe that situation. But they also know he's crucial for Brock Purdy at a crucial time. I think they'll get that one done. I do. They might have to pick a fifth-year option up to, extend the runway here and utilize all their levers. But I think that thing will get done. I'd be surprised if it didn't. I truly believe that. I believe that more than I can't believe the Cowboys situation with Dak. Wild show. We'll tell you the rest of the week in a moment.
Hey, everybody. This is Dan Bespris, host of Fantasy NBA Today, a daily fantasy basketball podcast. We cover every box score from every game, every day. plus bonus shows on buy low opportunities, players to stash, schedule analysis, and really anything you could need to smash your league into deliciously tiny pieces.
Catch the Fantasy NBA Today podcast, part of the Believe Network, on YouTube or wherever you listen.